Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two millennial Americans who don't really know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. The hope for promotion springs eternal, at least for one more weekend.
Let's go. Well, no matter what happens, only for one more weekend, because either we make it or we don't after this weekend. No more hope after that.
All hope is lost after that.
I kiss my mother on the cheek, tell her that I love her. You ain't gotta worry about a thing, I got it covered.
Let's hope also that the Forest Green Rovers season finale is better than Line of Duty. That's a little British joke. I don't know. I don't really get it, but I saw a lot of people were really angry about the British show Line of Duty, and I guess there was a finale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw stuff online where...
I hear it's good, but I guess the finale was not good. People did not like it, Sean. People did not like it at all. Also, shout out to Morris dancers. You know what a Morris dancer is, Sean?
Yeah, the best type of dancer that's out there, right? Aren't they like the traditional British dancers?
How do you know all this stuff about British culture, Shimmy?
What can I say? Colonialism. What are you going to do?
Good point. What's Statman? Chris Latham told me all about Morris dancers. Apparently, it's like, actually, I don't know if it's this week and or whatever. Anyway, he told me about it. It was a phenomenon I never heard of. And then I looked it up and I still don't really understand it at all.
I think most people in England don't, outside of the people that do it.
Actually, Chris Latham also seemed to not really understand it either. And he was like, you know, just go to pubs too whenever it's like Morris dancing season. And they'll just show up at the pub too and just start dancing and hitting sticks. And anyway, so shout out to Morris dancers, a phenomenon I just learned about yesterday. So anyway, Shimmy, how are we feeling? This is a Forest Green Rovers podcast, not a Morris dancers podcast.
At least not, yes. Not until we can monetize that.
At least not yet.
Yeah, we'll monetize Morris dancing somehow. Feeling pretty good. Fine, you know, we, especially this past weekend, because it was an exciting day, right? An exciting day. We watched the match together. We had one of our new, NYCFGR friends also join us.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah.
So fun watching together, you know, with you, with another person. As you know, and as we'll talk about, I was supposed to be there for the whole game. I had a robotics competition. It ran over big time, and so I didn't get there till the second half. But it sounds like I didn't miss much because I heard the first half was... Not much happened in the first half.
Yeah, also, if you were in the room, you may have missed much, too, because our stream on Saturday was a little rough. That's the one kind of consistently bad thing about FGR this season, I found, is sometimes that stream. Oof, to kill it.
That and your internet, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, that and my internet, too. Yeah, they won't care if I badmouth them, because they have a monopoly, so they don't care what customers think. They will openly insult customers.
That's right.
But our internet, Spectrum internet, is terrible.
Gotta get that Verizon, baby, like I got, lightning fast. But like you said, it's a monopoly. Every building here has their own and you have no choice.
Yep.
Anyway, I am excited, Shimmy. I am very excited, Shimmy, because first of all, we beat arch rivals Tranmere. Always great to smash Tranmere, Shimmy. We knocked them out of automatic, any hopes of automatics.
Yeah.
We actually also potentially could knock them out of playoffs. It all depends on what happens on Saturday, and it's unlikely. I think we would have to win, and Exeter would have to win, and Tranmere would have to lose for them to be knocked out. But in any case, always good to knock down our rivals. And then Saturday, this coming Saturday, we are getting together to watch this last match. It's going to be so fun with FGR New York City. We're going to watch it together in Brooklyn. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, really.
And then finally, Shimmy, I am excited. Well, actually, first, I don't know if you can hear that in the background. Stupid. Classic New York. Have you ever heard the... I should shut my windows. Yeah, have you ever heard the ASAP Ferg song from like a few years ago? Where he starts it out like, I gotta close the window before I record. Because New York don't know how to be quiet.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel. I should start every episode like that. Because every episode there's stupid sirens and dirt bikes and whatever else outside my window.
Maybe that can be our catchphrase. We'll adapt that.
I gotta close the window before I record because New York don't know how to be quiet.
Anyway, I'm so pumped for Saturday. I mean, I would have been so pumped anyway, even if we weren't getting together, but the fact that we're getting together with all the FGR New York City fans, it just amplifies the excitement. And then last but not least, Shimmy, on today's episode, we have one of the most exciting prospects at Forest Green Rovers. Dare I say one of the most exciting prospects in all of League 2, Shimmy. We have on the one, the only, young Jake Young. He is on the pod today, Shimmy. Let's go.
The king of context. The king of context, Jake Young, which you will see very shortly.
Amen. Amen to that. Oh, man. What is not to love, Shimmy? Things are good. Things are good. It is spring. Things are getting back to normal here in the city. Life is good. I am excited, Shimmy. I am feeling great. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about today, Shimmy. We're going to get into, we're talking a little bit about the picture, the playoff picture for League 2 leading into the last day. Kip Kowalski also is going to join us for a recap of the Tranmere match. Then we're going to talk about the Tranmere match. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's massive, massive match against Oldham. We have on the boy, Chris Latham, Statman, who will inject us with stats of positivity, Sean. And then we have on Young, Jake Young. I'm so excited for that. You should be too. He's already a fan favorite, but you're going to love him even more after you hear him today. Things are good, Shimmy. Things are good. We got some Hordesh Badam June cooking in the background too. One of my favorite Persian dishes, all vegan, of course. Life is good, Shimmy. So what are we sipping on today? What is our beer?
Today, we are sipping on something that's fit for the summer, because we know the temperature is heating up here in New York City. I'm sweating a little bit on camera these days, but we are sipping on Del's Shandy. So it's that mixture of beer with a little bit of lemonade or lemon in it. And so we're going to try this today to hopefully cool down, just as our season is heating up into this, this final Saturday.
Hey, there we go. I like that, Shimmy. I like that. All right, brother. Well, cheers. Cheers to beer. Cheers to summer shandy. Cheers to lemon and citrus and whatever else is in it. Cheers to the most exciting league in the world, Shimmy. League 2 tied with League 1 and the championship. Also very exciting. Although the championship was not as exciting this year because all the relegated teams went right back up. But anyway, cheers to the lower leagues where all the fun, all the drama, all the excitement is. Cheers to our guest, Young Jake Young. Cheers to getting New York City FGR together to watch a match in person this weekend. I cannot wait for that. And cheers, just like you said at the top, to the playoff hopes and dreams that are still very much alive.
Yes.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers, Nathan. Here's to the Forest Green Rovers. Let's go get it. Let's get into the playoffs.
Let's get it. Let's get it on Saturday, baby. Let's go. So quick housekeeping thing. First of all, if you live in New York City and you want to join us for the match on Saturday, we're going to be watching in Brooklyn. Hit us up. DM us at HevsDevs on Twitter, on Instagram, at HeavensDevilsPod, at gmail.com, on email. Get in contact with us. Let us know. It is going to be a blast. So come drink with us, eat with us, watch the Rovers, and let's celebrate our impending playoff birth, baby. Let's go.
Oh, wait, the more the merrier. Let's do this.
Okay, so I want to talk about League 2, Shimmy. What a league. First, let's talk about League 2. What a league, Shimmy. This league, Shimmy, this is what makes League 2 so special. There's so much more, you know, excitement and entertainment in League 2 relative to the Premier League, Shimmy. We are on the last match day of the year. We have no idea who's going to win the league. It will all come down to Saturday. It's crazy, Shimmy. We don't even know who's going to win the league yet. And it's one. It all comes down to one day. We don't know who's going to be automatically promoted other than Cheltenham. They're the only team that secured automatic promotion. Right now, Cambridge, who is second, could potentially win the league.
Wow.
Or, you know, if they win or Cheltenham lose. Or Cambridge could be knocked out of automatics with a loss and a Bolton or Morecambe win. So, you know, we don't know even who the automatically promoted teams are, except Cheltenham. It's a three-way race between Cambridge, Bolton, and Morecambe, and who knows? And then the four playoff teams, Shimmy, we have no idea who they're going to be yet either. We know for sure one of them's either going to be Cambridge, Bolton, or Morecambe, whichever one doesn't get automatically promoted. And then we got Newport, Tranmere, Forest Green Rovers, Exeter, Salford City, all of us, all five of us fighting, Shimmy, for three spots all on one day. This is drama, Shimmy. This is excitement. This is everything you want in a final match day, Shimmy. What a crazy, what a beautiful, what a perfect, League shimmy. I'm going to miss it someday when Forest Green get promoted to the Premier League. I'll tell you that much. I am going to miss this. I'm going to go off for a second shimmy, too. One last thing here. I'm probably in the minority here, but this is why I was not hating if the Big Six, in air quotes, the Big Six, no offense, Sean, to your Arsenal, who are in 10th place?
I think they're in 9th now. At least temporarily.
Ninth, all right. Well, anyway, if they would have left, I mean, yeah, whatever. A lot of money would be out of the system, but the Premier League stinks, shimmy. It's not competitive. It's nothing like this. Those Big Six leave, we get mystery. We get excitement. We get drama back, shimmy. True. League Two, League One, the championship, that is where it's at. It's amazing, shimmy. Shimmy, have you ever had this much fun watching the Premier League?
Not in a very long time, Nathan.
Yeah, maybe when Arsenal was really
good. Yeah, when Arsenal was really good, which was, you know, it keeps receding into the past as the universe expands. But, like, I've had some great nights watching Arsenal, and, you know, in the early to mid-2000s. You know, some of those European nights were special. But again, even the Super League reduces that, right? It would minimize something like a Europa Champions League. But I have to agree with you, you know? Maybe at some point these super-powered clubs where seems like the funding is endless because it's like state power that's behind it, whether it's, you know, fossil fuel or money from the Middle East or oligarchs from Eastern Europe. Like, at some point, maybe we just got to get them out so that, like you said, the Premier League, the Championship, the Pyramid gets that much more, you know, competitive. So it's not just like, okay, Leicester City, I think, was also funded by a rich person ultimately. But, like, you know, it's not right. Like once every 15 years that you get a new team that wins, but maybe every 4, 5, or 6 years you get a new club that's vying to be the top. So I'm with you. I like it.
Yeah, Leicester's not exactly a poor club either. Yeah. But, but yeah, no. Well, whatever. This is not about the Super League or the Premier and all the problems of the Premier League. But there needs to be something to make it more competitive, to make to create more equity in that league, in my humble opinion. But anyway, it doesn't matter because we're in League Two, a much better league, in my humble opinion. Soon to be in League One, though.
For sure.
Amen. Amen. So let's talk about Tranmere, shimmy. Massive match, and then we'll talk about Oldham. But before we do, our sideline reporter, Kip Kowalski, was back in action for us this week, shimmy.
Kip, he's back.
Kip, back. The GOAT. So let's hear from Kip. Let's hear Kip's match recap of Tranmere, and then we will get into it. We'll give our thoughts on that massive, massive win. Take it away, Kip.
This is Kip Kowalski from WTOB9 in Steubenville, Ohio. We go to the new lawn for a battle of Rovers as Forest Green Rovers take on rivals and notorious grilled meat posting Twitter trolls, Tranmere. The social media boycott prevented us from seeing those brilliant and hilarious Tranmere fans replying to FGR posts with pictures of grilling meat. What a shame. We skipped the entire first half because Nathan and Kip had a robotics competition and missed it. So we moved to the second half. In the 50th minute, where Big Daddy Kane Owen Wilson says,
"Wow, a little late. I'm trying to get my bearings. There's cartoons, your mom, and it's like you still got it."
And delivers a cross more reliable than Owen Wilson being cast in a Wes Anderson film. And the ball finds Josh Allen Davison, who sent the entire city of Buffalo, New York, through a table with a rocket shot from his rocket leg. So daring, even Rocket Man Elon Musk says,
"So cool. Anyway, I built a house in space, and I'm having a party. You should come."
And it's a goal! Forest Green Rovers 1, Tranmere Rovers 0. Just like their fans' creativity and sense of humor on Twitter. Just 7 minutes later, Ibu Adams is unjustly shown a second yellow as he very lightly physically assaults Callum Mackie-Tings McDonald with a Taekwondo aerial kick to the face that leaves old Kip Kowalski wondering, when did football become so soft? A disgraceful call by the official after that Callum Michael McDonald simulation dive that has us all singing.
As he rises to an apology, anybody else would surely know. Off the pitch he's gonna go.
And the ref is a phony bruise. He sees Ibu is headed to the shower after an aerial kick to the face.
Now down to 10 men. We go to the 81st minute where A. Ron Hubbard as a Collins chases a ball into the box and is tackled harder than a Scientologist trying to escape Gold Base, justly awarded a penalty after that brutal assault by the Tranmere Keeper, who should be in jail after that attack. A. Ron Hubbard Collins steps up and does what A. Ron Hubbard Collins does best. Bury the bodies of non-believers. Buries the penalty. Goal! 2-0 to the Rovers. Who needs 11 men when you have Azza Rasmataza Collins, baby? 6 minutes of injury time. Tranmere score, but who cares? It's far too late for Tranmere fans to post their stupid meat memes on Twitter. Go to bed, Tranmere. Forest Green Rovers are back in the playoff hunt. In the words of Howard Dean, woo!
Wow, Jimmy Kip was coming for those Tranmere fans, coming for Scientology. But man, overall, just great to have Kip back.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was like laying low from the law, if there was like an Interpol warrant out for Kip, but here he is, he's back. Like you said, taking no prisoners. You know, hard to figure out who's pushier, Tranmere fans or Scientologists, but man, Kip called them both out.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Maybe he's laying low from Scientology after calling out the Scientologists.
Oh,
they have a reputation for coming after you. Anyway, Shimmy, let's move to the match.
As frank as Frankenstein, as blunt as an atom bomb, one compound word, it's football!
Forest Green Rovers 2, Tranmere Rovers 1, a battle of the Rovers that saw the good Rovers come out on top. A pair of second half goals from Josh Davison, which was a beauty, and then an Aaron Azza Rasmataza Collins penalty brought the 10-man Forest Green Rovers back into the playoff hunt. Wow, Shimmy, what a match. What a team performance. We took our chances. We won. Simple as that, Shimmy. We take our chances, we're going to win, and we are back in this thing, baby.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Like, we needed that, and against what we consider and what we've learned in our brief time to be sort of an arch rival, you know, where we've kind of been at the same level and we've been promoted at their expense, but then they've made it up. And we lost to them earlier this season, so it always just seems to be a little bit of extra nip and bad blood between these two clubs. But I'm glad, like you said, the right Rovers won on Saturday.
That's right. The good Rovers came out on top. Yeah, I feel like there's always, like, the fans always, I don't know, always chirp us. Kip, in that audio there, Kip mentioned all the Tranmere fans. Like, what a shame it was, Shimmy, that we couldn't see all the Tranmere fans. And they're hilarious pictures of meat that they always reply to Forest Green Rovers posts on whenever we play them. So what a shame, Shimmy, that we missed out on that. what a joke. And also what a shame, Shimmy, that I missed the first half, although maybe not much of a shame because I hear not a lot happened. But I had a robotics competition, as you know. Got to your house for the second half. Like you said earlier, it was so fun to watch with a group. Well, not a group, but me, you, and our other friend. It's going to be so much. Cannot wait for Saturday with a bigger group. Hopefully we're all celebrating together. But let's talk about the game, Shimmy. That first goal, just beautiful. Beautiful, all around beautiful stuff. The vision and skill of Big Daddy Kane Wilson to pick out Davison, and then Davison's touch and finish were superb,
right,
Shimmy.
Side netting, it was a thing to behold. Loved it.
Oh my goodness, I've rewatched it multiple times now. Incredible, beautiful. One of the prettiest, like, I don't know, one of the prettiest goals I think we've seen.
Well, we haven't seen too many in the recent past. So, I think our standards are a little bit lower now. But, man, it was a thing of beauty. I think, objectively, it was just a great strike.
Yeah, maybe I'm biased because we haven't seen any goals lately. So, any goal will be like, oh, that's beautiful. But no, I've just felt, it was incredible, right in the side netting. And then we go to a few minutes later where our boy Ibu Adams. Oh, my guy Ibu. He plays so hard, Shimmy, and you love that about him, Shimmy. His work rate, it's the difference for us so many times. It's also, you know, it leads by example. I think when you're out there on the pitch, you see how hard Ibu's playing. It inspires you to chase after loose balls, but hopefully it doesn't inspire you to do a flying taekwondo kick in the face to an opponent, which is what our boy Ibu did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking there, Shimmy. That was
I don't know. Maybe Ibu's just been watching too many like Jackie Chan classics. Like maybe he saw Police Story Friday night, and it's just like he had to be the guy flying in off screen before dumping a guy like 5 or 10 feet.
I love it. I mean, I feel like he just doesn't know his own speed and energy. He just was flying through the air. Completely needlessly.
Yeah, we could have used the extra man. It, you know, all's well that ends well. But you, like you said, you can never fault him for his effort he gives on the pitch, because that is never flagging.
Yes, but you got to be a little smarter than that. You got to control your body a little bit more, especially when you're already on a yellow. I haven't seen that. I feel like that's a play that only happens in League Two. Again, why League Two is the best league. You're not going to see these taekwondo kicks to the head in the Premier League, Shimmy. Anyway, let's go move on and talk about the boy Aaron Azza, Razmataza, Aaron Hubbard, Collins, Phil Collins. Oh,
the boy.
What a game he had, man. So happy for him. He's worked so hard, and he's had difficulty finishing lately, and he's gotten a lot of, you know, stick from the fans, and I know I'm sure he gives it to himself, too. Actually, we know he does, because, you know, we talked to, I think it was Sweeney told us, you know, on the bus ride home, especially after tough losses, you know, he doesn't talk to anybody. He's like, you know, he takes his work very seriously, and he wants to succeed. He wants to do well. And, you know, we're all rooting for him. And I love what Jimmy Ball said, which I'll play that in a little bit. I feel like Azza plays so hard. He chases after loose balls. He battles. Even though he's had trouble finishing lately, that doesn't stop him from taking good shots, which is what we want to do. And so I was just so happy to see him have such a good game, to see him score. He needs that confidence as a striker. You need that confidence. Once you get one, I think the goals are gonna continue to come. But anyway, yeah, he hustled, he scrapped, he almost got that goalkeeper deflection. That was beautiful. And then the chase down to get the penalty, and then subsequently just cool as you like, Shimmy, burying the penalty.
That was
great. Loved it. So deserved, man. So happy for him. And I want to hear your thoughts in a second, and then we'll play what Jimmy Ball said. But what did you think?
Yeah,
Jimmy,
like you said, just so happy for Azza, man. You know, to be in the line of Aaron Phil Collins, he seems to have that invisible touch in games where he's an attacking force.
Let's
he
go.
Can make great runs. He can spread the ball around. Has just been missing that last little bit of quality, but to see him score that penalty and to come good, you can see why he's a starter. You know, he has that impact on the game. But it's just, you know, he helps our XG be so great. It was just missing the reward for it. But I'm glad to see him finally rewarded. And like you said, may it be the first of many to round out this season. You know, at least a few more.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I think he's going to come on. And I think, Chris Latham and I talk about this too. You know, if we are going to go to the playoffs and if we are going to make a run, Aaron Collins is going to play a big role there. And so we need him to bury goals. And I think this is going to be the first. The levee's about to break, Shimmy. Goals are coming. And I want to play really quick here just a quick clip of what Jimmy Ball said about him. And what he said about the team as well, but specifically about Azza, because I think it was spot on, and it's really how I feel about Aaron Collins.
And all you've got to do is, lads that work hard, you just got to back them, support them, and give them the belief and the trust. And that's what we've done today, and they've come up front for us. A great finish, for the first goal, and then to earn and take a penalty and be calm and technically as good as he is. Fair play. Azza needed that one, I think.
Yeah, what a moment for Aaron Collins. If anyone deserved a goal today, it was that man, wasn't it?
He's earned it. Listen, he's a team player. He runs hard. He runs for the team unselfishly. You know what I mean? He jumps up in the air against big 6'5", you know, men, and is brave and sticks his head up there to get knocked off, and he keeps doing it, and he keeps running in behind. He keeps getting the ball and trying to score. It's bravery, and I'm pleased for him. He deserves it.
And Jimmy Ball, man, what can we say about that guy? Like, his positivity, such a breath of fresh air. And the way that these players are just working and scrapping and chasing down loose balls with four players in Jama, Cadden, Sweeney, Whitehouse, four really important players, all of them out. It's just amazing. You know, if we manage they managed to make the playoffs. You know, I know we were excited for Dale to hire football's first female coach, but Jimmy Ball's got to be in the running, man. There's always a new manager bounce, of course, but I think the belief, the joy, the positivity that he injects into this team, I think it's made a big difference, Jimmy. And that takes us to Saturday, Shimmy. Shimmy, we head to Oldham. Where? Shimmy, according to Statman, we have never lost. We've never lost to Oldham, according to Statman.
Wow.
So that's some positive news. Also, according to me, Jimmy Ball has also never lost to Oldham. So let's go.
Yeah, we know you keep meticulous records on the era of coaching coaches, especially those named Jimmy Ball who have.
I've watched every single Jimmy Ball first team match. Haven't missed it. That's not true. Yes. I missed one half of the last match due to robotics. But anyway,
blame the robots. Why don't you? Just blame the robots, as always.
So anyway, so that's positive news. We've never lost to Oldham. So let's look at the scenarios here for us to make the playoffs. Then we'll talk a little bit about Oldham. Then we'll get to Statman. Then we'll get to Young Jake Young. Here's the scenarios. Three scenarios. We win, we draw, we lose. We win, we're in. Done. We're in the playoffs. We take care of business. It's all in our hands. We win, nothing. Nobody can do any. Like, doesn't matter what anyone else does. We're in. So, that's what we need. That's what we need. But.
That seems like the simplest for me to understand, so I hope
you
just do that.
Well, let's go over the other scenarios. So, we draw. If we draw, according to my mathematics here, then we need Exeter and Salford to both draw or worse or lose. So if either team win and we draw, we are out, Shimmy. We are out of the playoffs. So you don't like those chances because you think Exeter, Salford, both, like, one of them's probably going to win. If you got two of them, one of them's probably going to win. So we don't want to draw, Shimmy. We don't want to leave that to chance. And then if we lose, Shimmy, we are in big trouble because if we lose, we need Exeter to lose and we need Salford to either lose or draw. They can draw. But if Exeter draw or win, we are out. And if Salford win, Salford win, we are out. So, Jimmy, we got to win. We got to win because the draw and the loss, we still have a chance with a loss or a draw, but it's not looking good, Jimmy. Jimmy, in the words of Al Davis, just win, baby.
Just win, baby. Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's true. We just got to win. And if you want to picture how Sham looked when Nathan was going through those scenarios, just pull up that meme of the comedian Zach Galifianakis with all the equations running around his head. Or I think there's a South American soap actor. She has all like the equations around her head. That's exactly how I looked. My eyes were glazed over.
I love it. All right, well, let's go to the opponent, to Oldham. The last time we played them, Shimmy, February 16th, a crazy, crazy exciting 4-3 win, just back and forth. There were like 7 goals in like a period of a few minutes. Like, it was crazy. That game was so fun to watch.
Yeah, that was a rescheduled game too, right?
Yes, I believe so. Or was this one? No, that one was the rescheduled game. Yeah, you're right. Since then, Oldham have fallen a bit. They are firmly stuck in limbo right now. No relegation fears, no playoff hopes. So all they're playing for right now is pride. Their last two games look awful as well. On Saturday, they lost 4-1 against Mansfield Town. And I watched the highlights, Jimmy, and it looks just like they got dominated in that one. Just lost possession easily, made silly mistakes, weren't really much of a threat. They just got run over, steamrolled by Mansfield Town. And then the match before that was a 2-1 loss to relegated, and not just relegated, last place Grimsby. They actually weren't bad in that one from what I saw. Maybe 2-1 kind of flattered Grimsby. Maybe a draw would have been more fair. But in any case, they lost to last place Grimsby. That's not good. So one would hope, Jimmy, that their spirits are crushed coming into this match. That they got nothing to play for. And that they'll just, you know, lie down. That's what one would hope for. But we can't count on it. And they can be dangerous. Just a few weeks ago, they were on fire. 4-1 win against Crawley, 5-2 win against Colchester, put up a fight against Morecambe, 3-0 win against Harrogate. So they can play, they can score, they are just very inconsistent. So it just depends on which Oldham team we're going to get, and I hope we get the crap team that loses to Grimsby and gets dominated by Mansfield. What do you think, Shimmy?
I want our best foot forward, right? Our best squad and our best effort to show up. Just like Jimmy Ball brings that positive vibe, the positive influence, that's how I want our boys to play. Just go out there and do your thing. And, you know, you want them to make them make the olden players feel like lying down. Don't let them lie down on their zone. Make them lie down.
Let's go. I like that. Take it to them. Take it to them. Break their spirit. I know a lot of our guys are David Goggins fans. David Goggins says, take their soul. Let's take their soul on Saturday, Shimmy.
I was never breaking the soul of anything in front of me. So that's why I came with this thing called taking souls. I started to devise ways to break a soul of a human being, of an object, of whatever's in front of me. If you keep on attacking something, nothing wants to stand in front of anything. That is relentless.
Take it early. Let's get a couple goals. Give Oldham nothing to play for. Let's score early, and let's have a nice little Saturday afternoon, baby. We're winning this one, Shimmy.
Style. You got to do it for FGR NYC. We're going to be there supporting you as a big group from across the Atlantic.
We'll be Rover Seas watching.
Oh.
Get it? I can't take credit for that one because a Blackburn Rovers fan who lives in Pennsylvania who just messaged me earlier, that's his name. So I thought it was clever.
Shout out to that. That's a great name.
I agree. Shout out Blackburn Rovers. Shout out Harvey Elliott, even though he left Fulham. Anyway, all right, Shimmy, let's get to Statman, and then we'll go to Young Jake Young, baby. Take it away, Statman.
I'm a
Statman. All right, we welcome back Statman.
Statman.
Chris Latham. Chris, how are we feeling?
Hey, feeling good. What a result on Saturday. Incredible performance, wasn't it? Going down to 10 men as well, you kind of feel like, a bit worried. But then I checked, and we haven't lost when we've gone down to 10 men this season. So it was in the bag.
Oh, wow. Let's go. Is that the stat? You already brought out the stat on us?
That's not it. No,
that's
that
not even the stat. Look at that. That's just... I love it.
But like, I think we've been pretty good, haven't we? And like, we had one bad half against Barrow, and then everyone was sort of feeling a bit down, but it was always on the cards. Like, if you beat Tranmere, you're in with a chance. Salford or someone was going to drop points. So it's just a case of who's going to drop points. Can we get a win? And they were, the effort, the work rate of some of those guys, like, they must be having three Weetabix in the morning or something, because I don't know how they do it. And Aaron Collins, Aaron Collins, he worked so hard. He worked and he won that penalty. And then he nearly gave me a heart attack running up with that little slow run. But calm as you like.
Calm as you like, that's right.
It's the life of a striker, though, isn't it? Life of a striker is like confidence. I'd love to see him play a season under someone like Jimmy Ball, because I think he'll score a lot of goals. Jimmy's like backing him, isn't he? And he's talking all the time how good technically he is and everything, which he is. He just needs someone to believe in him. And I think once he's scored one, he'll go on and score more. We won't get promoted without him playing. I guarantee that.
No, that's true. And I think that's perfectly put.
The thing is, other players, like Christian Deutsch, would go some games without scoring. And then he'd look like he was sort of like trying too hard almost. And then he'd get one and he'd score like a few in a few games. And it's just like strikers. But I had a quick look because like, he's something like 25th top goal scorer in the league. There's 24 teams, so that's pretty good still, given that we played to Jammer's strengths and stuff.
Right.
And he's like 12th in the assists as well. So man's like contributing to goals, isn't he? He's doing numbers. It just feels like maybe he deserves more for the effort and the chances he gets, maybe. But hopefully that's the start of a bit of a role for him.
Agree. And what a great time for it to come. The perfect time for it to come. And I agree with you. If we are somehow going to pull off this like miracle run to get promoted, he's going to play a huge part in that. So what's our stat, Chris? I mean, you already dropped like two or three stats in there that weren't even the stat.
That's your accidental stats there. I think
I love it.
It's been a couple of podcasts, isn't it, since I've been on? So like, I'm struggling for stat fitness. practice in the background, but you can't do it. I've seen a few, basically, I saw a few things going around of, oh, if we make playoffs, we won't win anyway. we haven't got a chance. So I looked at it and I just thought, right, what is that true? Because the only time I thought we weren't going to get promoted was when we went on the bad run of form under Mark Cooper and he seemed to not know what to do. Since Jimmy's come in, breath of fresh air, wherever we get to, but we're giving it a good go. But I decided to look at it. So, like, if things finished as they are in the playoffs, it's Morecambe, Tranmere, Newport, and us. The only team out of those three to have beaten us is Tranmere. No one else has beaten us. And we've just beat Tranmere under Jimmy Ball.
Let's go.
You know, like, because I think in the past we've had this sort of like reputation that we don't beat the better teams. And then even then, because like you say, it's like snakes and ladders at the moment. If you get to Cambridge and Bolton, we've won one, lost one against both of them. You know, like, it's pretty even. So, like, if we get to the playoffs, we've got to beat Oldham, who we've never ever lost to, by the way. Two wins, three draws against Oldham. Never lost. These
stats coming out. I love it.
But, like,
also,
that we've got hope, really. I think, like, we've got to believe. And whatever happens, the playoffs are always a roll of the dice, aren't they? A bit of luck, a dodgy referee decision, or, you know, a bit of, like, an unfortunate goal somehow, like, changes things. But, like, it shows we've got a fighting chance. And the way they play at the moment, the commitment, the positivity. Like, if I was in there and looking at those playoffs, the team I wouldn't want to play is Forest Green, because I think every hurdle we get over, you know, we lost to Barrow, people writing us off. We beat Tranmere, like, we go down to 10 men and we beat Tranmere.
Yes.
Every like hurdle we get over, we're going to get more confident, stronger. You know, Davison scored, Collins scored. All these questions that people have, they're being answered. So I would not want to play a team that's on the ascendancy, which I think is what we are.
I love that. Oh my God, you just got me so pumped. And, I'm feeling good, Chris. I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good. And you mentioned Ibo Adams, and I was gutted for him because he's a committed player, isn't he, and stuff. But that said, one of the reasons I'm gutted for him is because I genuinely think he's going to have trouble getting back in the team. Someone else is going to go in there and put in a performance. I think someone's going to play themselves in there, aren't they? It feels like from nowhere we've got options in midfield.
Yeah,
like more thrillers, right? Doing well, just some players going out there and just giving it everything they've got. Like a few weeks ago under Mark Cooper, though, it felt like you couldn't work out a combination. Now it feels like we've got genuine competition despite injuries. So
yeah.
I don't know how. Maybe I'm talking it up too much. Maybe I'm getting too carried away.
No, I think you're right, though. And it's crazy. You're right. I think guys have stepped up. Well, this was awesome, Chris. Let's close out there. So, Chris, thank you so much. Statman, cannot wait for Saturday, man.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
I'm a Statman.
Statman, Chris Latham, the boy Chris Latham. Ah, love Chris Latham. I love that these chats too have kind of, yes.
Yeah, sorry. And I love always, it. Every time. Sorry.
I love it when you sing, Jimmy. I love it. You know who? You know what else? Who else I love when it sings? Dokes, baby. Dokes. You heard it.
Dokes.
Take me home, West Virginia, baby.
I saw the locker room footage. The dressing room footage. It was great.
Yes, I have long said that is the song that I walked down the aisle to at my wedding, which is a fact, because I got married in West Virginia, grew up near there. If I ever get married again, which I hope is not the case, but I want Dokes to be there. You know what? Let's maybe be more positive. When my wife and I celebrate our 5-year anniversary and redo our vows.
Yes. There you go.
I'm going to have Dokes come and sing that song for us. So, Dokes, you're invited to the 5-year anniversary wedding. Actually, that's something my wife and I said. We had so much fun at our wedding. We're like, why don't we just do this like every few years? Let's just have a wedding. Like, this was so
fun.
Throw
a big party. Yeah.
Yeah, just a giant party with all your friends and family. It's the best. And it's awesome. Anyway.
You know, it's like that movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. But in this case, what you have to build is just a giant table of food and drink. If you do that, we'll come. We will come.
That's true. I guess I forgot about that part. It's pretty expensive. So I guess that's why we don't do it every year. But it was awesome. If I ever become a billionaire, I will do it every year. And you're invited, Sham, and Dokes, you're
but
also invited.
But only if you become a billionaire am I invited.
Only if I become a billionaire.
That's the condition.
we're on our way with this pod, Shimmy. We are well on our way.
Yeah, before right, you know it, we'll be $1 billion in debt.
All right, Shimmy. Let's get to this amazing interview with the incredible, very interesting, smart, mature, ahead of his time, and magical young Jake Young. You're going to love this kid. You are going to love this kid. We always love this kid. Like, anytime he came on, it just feels like magic is about to happen whenever you see Jake Young warming up to come on the pitch.
Yeah, man, you just get that vibe of bearing down on goal when Jake Young enters the pitch.
Yes.
You feel it change immediately, and we know we're going to be attacking and aggressive.
Amen to that. All right, let's get the young Jake Young, the boy, amazing kid, amazing player, great human, great player. Let's go. Our next guest is the man with TikTok hair. He's a baby. He still goes to daycare, still sleeps with his teddy bear. His favorite writer is Voltaire, interestingly. He's a big fan of French Enlightenment. He's actually also a collector of antique glassware. You wouldn't expect that for someone his age. And finally, he is the goalkeeper's worst nightmare. And we know because we asked Lewis Thomas. He said that. So he is a 6'1" forward from Huddersfield, West Yorkshire. Young Jake Young, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, so many trail.
Some intro is one way to describe it. So first of all, Jake, you know you have TikTok hair, right?
I'm not sure about that.
All right, let me show you real quick. You definitely have you have TikTok hair. You have everything you need to be a TikToker. Wait, I'm sharing my screen here. But you're 19 years old, right? That's the age of like all the TikTokers. Good looking dude. All the TikTokers have that, and you have, look at this, exactly the same hair. Let me hit up images. Look at this hair. It's exactly the same. Let me find another one. These are like the hottest names in TikTok, and you all have the same hairstyle. Look at this, like the bangs in the front. So my question is, first, do your parents think you're a failure because you're just a professional football player and not a multi-millionaire 19-year-old TikTok star living in a mansion in L.A.?
That was the wrong career path, I think, didn't I? I should have gone TikTok. Yeah.
Yeah, would have been a lot more money there.
I ain't got the dancing, though. Not got the dancing.
All right, fair enough.
I think what I'd go for, if I had to do a dance, would be as a, you know, he sort of said, I can't remember who's against, where he did a little roly-poly and the little lie down.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was a good little.
Fair enough.
I love it. I love
the roly-poly lie down. It's
get that one going. Get that
coming
one going.
Soon to a smartphone near you.
I love it. Secondly, I got to tell you a story about, well, yourself, young Jake Young. So young Jake Young is the nickname that we've been calling you like all season, ever since we learned about you. It's, you know, obviously a play on your last name, Young, and a play on your age, because you're very young. We were watching the Tranmere game on Saturday with a friend who got into FGR because of us. He's actually a good friend of mine who just started listening to the pod, our pod, from early on. But he never watched a game until a few months ago. Now he watches religiously, like every week. But anyway, so he always heard me call you Young Jake Young on the pod. And we're massive Young Jake Young fans. You know, whenever you play, whenever you score, we go crazy. Whenever you didn't get to play, we would always yell at Cooper from the pod. Anyway, so our friend heard us call you Young Jake Young, you know, months before watching you. And so he tells us the story for the first time on Saturday. And he says he was absolutely shocked when he saw you. He was stunned. He was in disbelief because all this time he thought Young Jake Young was a Korean international player. He thought you were Korean. he was 100% sure you were Korean, you know, because, like, first of all, Young is like a super common Korean name. And secondly, like, every Korean player, you know, they all have three names, you know. Youngmin, Son from Spurs, you know. You said you were a Man U fan. I think they had Park Ji Sung back in the day. Yep. Lee Chung Young from, you know, Fulton Palace. So anyway, and now Young Jake Young. So
Korean. Oh, that's brilliant. No, it's not Korea, not Japan.
All right, so there we go. We set the record straight. Young Jake Young is not a Korean international for all the listeners. He is just a young English boy from Huddersfield. the record is. But hey, if someday if you don't someday make the English national team, you should lobby. You should try to lobby to the Korean National Korean Football Association.
I sneak my way in. Change my name, Young Jae Young.
Yeah, that's right. That's yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, so Young Jae Young, we're gonna get some real questions in just a minute, in just a few minutes. But before we do, we gotta play a game. We play a game with every guest. It's in our contract. We have to do this. Our sponsors demand it. So here's the game. It's gonna play on our different ages and our different cultures. Part of this pod is, you know, sharing culture between countries, between cities, between ages. We're much older than you, Young Jae Young. So here's how this game is gonna work. I'm gonna give Sham a set of English phrases, you know, words, whatever slang. I'm going to give you, Young Jae Young, a set of New York City slang that 19-year-olds, so people your age, would say. So both of your jobs is to try to translate the slang from the other person's culture and age. And I'm going to read you a paragraph so you get a little bit of context. Then I'm going to go back to the words one by one, rapid fire. I give you the word. You got to give me a definition in 4 seconds or less for each one. You got to go fast. So first thing that comes to mind.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. So Nathan,
since you're giving Jake 19-year-old New Yorker slang, are you going to give me slang from like the era of Peaky Blinders based on my age or what?
Well, I actually have no idea about the British slang. I got it from either the internet or actually I hit up the Four Screen Rovers Discord and asked some fans for some British slang that we could use here. Here we go. We don't have a name for this segment. Maybe we'll come up with one later. We probably won't. Is it going to be a hit? Is it going to be a cringy failure? We don't know. Let's find out. Here we go. So, Sham, you're up first. On the lash, right legless, cream crackered, chunder, stony, skeeve or skive. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'll pronounce it both in the context. And wa-oh, ba-oh. All right. You ready, Sham?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm also going to try to put on a British accent. So let's see how this goes. Here we go. Bruv. The other night, me and me mates got on the lash and got right legless, you get me? Man's got cream crackered, mate. Man's got so cream crackered, man's chundered all over me stony, you get me, bruv? All over me stony, innit? Mate, I can't go to work tomorrow. I got to skeeve it or skive it. I don't know the right pronunciation, mate. Skeeve it or skive it. Mate, I need to get me a water bottle and hydrate, mate. Cheltenham, right rubbish, mate. Proper rubbish. That last part I just added in because... we needed that. All right, here we go. Here's the words. Sham, 4 seconds on each word. You got to give me a response. Here we go. On the lash.
Okay, you're a little saucy. You've had a little too much.
Right legless.
You're feeling hungover because you had a little too much. Because you're on
cream
the lash.
Cream cracker. I'll give you the answers after.
Okay, you're cream crackered. You're eating crackers with cream. No, I said it.
Chunder.
Oh, I just don't remember what it means. Chunder means you're wobbly.
All right, stony.
Stony means you're frowning.
skeeve or skive, I don't know the right.
Okay, if I remember, you can't go to work. You're absent. You're skipping.
Okay. What a bottle.
What a bottle is a bottle of water.
Let's go. Water bottle. Let's go. All right, so I think I'm only going to give you two here. On the lash, I think you said you were kind of... Jake, you can be the judge on this.
Yeah, you can be the judge.
Since know these words. But on the lash, I think means like you're going out to have a good time, right?
You're going out. Okay.
Yeah, you're on a drink. Going to be getting on the lash.
You give that to Sham? Because I think Sham was like, oh, you're already drunk. You give it to him? All right. We'll give you on the lash.
All right.
Right legless. I think you got that one. I don't remember. What did you say?
Yeah, I said you are kind of tipsy and like whatever.
I think it's more than that, right, Jake Young? Isn't it like super drunk?
Struggling to walk if you're legless.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there you go. You can't walk. So I'm not going to give you that one. You weren't drunk. Yeah. You weren't drunk enough, Sham. All right. Fair cream enough. Crackered. You definitely didn't get that one. I think that means like really maybe hungover or really tired or from being drinking too much.
Okay. I said right legless because you are hungover, I think. That's what I said.
I feel like you were one ahead on each one. That I said.
Okay, fair enough.
Chunder, I don't remember what you said, but I think
I don't
that means like
I said.
Throw up or get sick from
drinking.
Have a little chunder. Yeah.
Have a little chunder. A stony is a Stone Island jacket, Sham. That's the stony.
Stony, okay.
Know that.
Everyone knows what a Stone Island jacket is. Wait, what is a Stone Island jacket?
I don't know. I don't know. I just someone told me.
Just a little brand of a jacket.
Stone. Oh, okay.
All right, Stoney, gotcha. You got to get your Stoney shump.
Right.
And then you got Skeeve or Skive and Wobble. Nice job. Okay. Here we go. Jake Young. Young Jake Young. So context on this one on the paragraph. Well, I'll tell you in a second. Here's the words. I'm going to catch you. Bodega. I bet. Ock. Glizzy. Bev. Those are your words. I'm going to give you the paragraph. I'm going to set the scene. Pretend that I'm on the call with my friend Von Koval, who's, by the way, also American. Shout out Von Koval.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got born in San Diego. All right, here we go. Yo, I'm going to catch you, Von. I'm at the bodega. I'm on the phone. I bet. Yo, Ock, let me get a glizzy, egg, and cheese, and don't forget the Bev. All right, here we go. Here's your words, Jake. I'm going to catch you.
I'll see you.
Bodega.
Town.
Okay.
Okay.
I bet.
Round the corner.
Ock.
And what, sorry, what was the next one?
Ock.
Awkward.
Okay. Glizzy. Okay.
Sausage.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
You actually got that. All right.
Nice.
Bev. And Bev.
Bev, drink.
Let's go.
Whoa. Hey. Young Jake Young.
You actually nailed that one. So you got to have a ketchup. Perfect. Bodega, you didn't get. Bodega is like a corner store. We have them like every block in New York.
Yeah, corner shop.
We have a corner store. I bet just means like, okay, cool. I don't think you got that one. Ock is like an Americanized version of an Arabic word that means my brother. That's what people call the person who works in the bodega. Usually the guy who runs it. But Glizzy you got. Glizzy is a hot dog.
Yeah,
that's
hot
the
dog,
PG,
yeah.
PG version. There's also a not appropriate version for this pod, but anyway. And then Bev, you nailed it. How did you get Glizzy? I'm like shocked by that.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Just a lucky guess.
I think it was a lucky guess. The context helps. The context
Let's
helps.
Go.
Hey,
Let's
nice.
Go. All right, not bad. I think we're going to give it to Jake Young.
Yeah.
I got to add him up later, but we're giving it to Jake Young. All right, here we go.
Fair enough.
Let's go. Let's
Jake,
go.
Jake, right, the master of context clues, man. You killed it on that one. Loved it.
Let's go. All right, let's get in some real questions. Here we go, Shimmy.
All right. So quickly walk us through your young professional footballing journey, Jake, from Shelly Juniors to, is it Guiseley? Or you can, you know, let us know how you pronounce that, to Sheffield United to FGR.
When I was younger, I never really was in an academy setup. I think if you speak to a lot of young pros and stuff, a lot of them will have come through the academy. So in that way, I didn't really get that experience. I started off just playing with my friends, Sunday league. So it's just amateur stuff, kind of playing with your mates. That was at a club called Shelley, which is just local to me, just around the corner. And I got the opportunity to go to Guiseley and do a scholarship there. So that first year I did struggle a little bit. And then I think I had a bit of a growth spurt. I must have grown a few inches and things started coming together. And in that second year, I played about 6-7 games for the under 18s and I scored 20 something goals. Like I just started scoring. And then I started getting involved with the first team there and other clubs became interested because I was 17 at the time. And we are, if you, you've heard, you know the FA Cup, don't you? There's the FA Youth Cup, which is the under 18s version. I remember there was a game that we played in that and I scored 6 goals. And afterwards, that's when it took off and I had 5-6 different clubs kind of calling and saying,
wow.
It's come on trial, this and that. So one of those was Sheffield United, which is probably the closest club other than Huddersfield to me. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd go on trial there. I went to Birmingham. They've got a bit from Odin where he plays. He's got a big stadium. I've never played in a stadium like that before. I've never, all these lads that I'm playing with, that I've never seen anything like that, the setup that was there. So that was kind of crazy for me. And I remember coming on that game, I was on trial, came on in like 70th minute. My first touch, scored.
Let's go! Let's go!
Honestly, that was a crazy feeling. So they offered me an 18-month contract. So I was going from Guiseley, I wasn't even getting paid there. I was just doing it because I love football and just wanted to give it a go. To a club offering me an 18-month professional contract, like I'd never even think that'd be possible, so I took it straight away and enjoyed my time. That was really good playing 23s, so got to play in the good stadiums and we trained with the first team quite a bit. For me, my career, it was not the best thing because when I signed, Sheffield United suddenly became the next Barcelona. They were, that, I was there, they were, because I signed and they were in the Championship, and I thought there might be a chance going for it if I'm there for a little while to develop and maybe get opportunities with the first team. But when I was there, they got promoted to the Premier League, and then last season they were kind of competing for Europe, and there was a chance they might get Europa League, so they were just on fire. So in terms of getting any further than the 23s there, it was going to be a struggle, but I definitely wanted to go and experience first team football, because 23s, it's good, but there's no promotion, there's no relegation, it's not as competitive, there's not as much to play for. You want something on the line, you want to be able to get promoted. I spoke to my agent at the time and we said that I think first team football is something that I want to go, definitely, if we can, get into, but I knew it was going to be tough. That's how it came along with Forest Green, really. He just called me up and said, Rich Hughes had been in touch, I think it was. So yeah, I didn't think I'd be able to get a League Two club, if I'm honest, because I had no real experience. I'd not played any first team football anywhere. So to get that opportunity I couldn't believe that. The rest is history, really. Signed and
yeah. I gotta say, I can't help but wonder if Sheffield United's rise and fall is tied to Jake Young. They're correlated. They dominated the Premier League when Jake Young was on the team. Now look at them. They're freaking relegated. They get rid of Jake Young, they're relegated, man. There's a correlation there.
To be honest, it makes sense. It does make sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. So I want to ask about a little bit more about you and your game. So what do you think, Jake, is the biggest strength of your game? And what do you think is the area that you need to improve the most?
I'd say biggest strength, you finishing and then my shooting. I'd say that's up there. Like, I feel like I have that kind of bit of magic. I can make something happen out of nothing, which is a good thing to have. I think weakness, something that I know that I need to get better on, is I think being so young and playing that the 23s and coming from there into, like I said, first team football, it's a lot more physical. You've got 30, 35 year olds that have played 10 years, 15 years of professional football, and they know all those little bits, and they'll get into you and do little nasty things. And I think just become a little bit stronger and clever and know a little bit more about the game. I think that's something that it comes with experience as well. But as I say, I'll work on that, and the not as pretty side of the game, so the back to goal and the running and the tackling and that kind of thing, I know that I do need to work on, definitely.
Okay, improve that tackling. Like we said earlier before we started recording, against Tranmere on Saturday, we were disappointed not to see you in there, but we were down to 10 men and we needed to defend the lead. You improve that tackling, maybe we get Jake Young in there to defend and score more goals. Let's go. So I want to actually quickly touch on something that you just said there, being such a young player. A two-part question. First, what guys do you look up to kind of most on this team? And what's the best advice that you've received kind of in your career? Could be at Forest Green, could be elsewhere.
Who I look up to, a lot of the older boys that are in there. We've got quite a good balance, I think. There is a lot of youth and younger lads in there, but the old boys that have been about and they've been in relegations, been in promotions, they know a lot. So Scott Wagstaff, Chris Stokes, they've both been kind of promoted, so they know what it takes. I think the main one probably for me is Jammer. He's the same position as me, and I think he does all the stuff that I don't do, in terms of I can learn off him, and like I was saying, the things that I know that I need to improve on. I think he's a good role model like that, and he's been really good with me since I've been there this season. Always speaks to me, whether it's stuff football related or not. He's always there, so I'd definitely say Jammer's kind of the big one for me, position wise, role model.
That's awesome, man. We love Jammer. Jammer, yeah. We are massive Jammer fans. We're so happy he's gonna be back next year with you. So he'll be healthy again. He'll be fit. Hopefully he can continue to pass on the tools of the trade. And you guys can, oh my God, I'm excited to see that next year. Anyway.
So what do you do to chill? Like when you're not scoring these wonder goals, when you're not, you know, scaring, you know, the pants off goalkeepers, how is young Jake Young relaxing?
kind of get, like I said, I'm at home at the minute, so I'll try to get home, see family, see my friends. Got a girlfriend that lives in London, so I'll go see her. Watch a bit of Netflix, play a bit of Xbox, nothing too exciting really. I think now we're coming a little bit out of the restrictions with COVID, we'll be able to, as a team and lads, get out and do a few bits. So that'll be good, definitely. I wouldn't say there's anything too exciting off the pitch, just relax and get myself ready for the next day's training.
That's cool. Do you play do you play with any of the other players? Xbox,
to be fair, I live with Taylor Allen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he loves his Call of Duty. I would say every night I'll be hearing him screaming through the wall, screaming at the TV.
That's great. That's great. And your girlfriend, is she like, what is she? She's a dancer, an actress? I saw her on like the stage somewhere. You posted it one time.
Yeah, she's at dance college and she's just graduating now. So she musicals and singing and dancing, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Hey, New York City is the place for that. Maybe we will see young Jake Young on New York City FC.
I'll see you just in
the MLS.
Should be started.
Let's go.
So, Jake, if you weren't a footballer, you've had such a cool pathway to where you are right now. But if you didn't score 6 goals in an FA Cup match and score with your first touch, what would you be doing?
Probably be running a Forest Green podcast, I think.
You're doing a lot better than us.
Yeah. It's.
No, I probably would have stayed in sport, done something in sport, whether it was kind of sports journalism, I liked that kind of thing. I'd just probably just done anything to say in football, really. Just be around it and something along those lines. But like I said, I didn't really have a plan when I left high school, so glad that I didn't have to find out what I'd be doing now. I was not sure really what I'm good at.
Well, maybe we'll see you on TV someday. Yeah, I like that.
So what do you think of this particular FGR team?
Just a great set of lads. It's more of a family than a team. Everyone's together, everyone gets on with everyone. Just a lot of good lads and a lot of good footballers. And I think that's kind of backed up by when I speak to the older lads that have had longer careers and they've played in a lot of teams, that they say the same things. So that makes you realise it's not just me in my first season being naive and thinking, oh, it's a good team, good set of lads. It genuinely is such a tight-knit group with a lot of really good footballers in there.
That's awesome. And speaking of Swindon and Swindon boys, another Swindon boy, well, he lives in Swindon, Dan Sweeney. So we had Sweeney on a few weeks ago. He's always up to something, always up to a prank. So I want to ask, what's the best prank at FGR that you've been a part of, either as a participant or as a victim?
Tell you what, I'd say, unfortunately, it is a victim. I don't think I'm a victim, but this one was a victim at Mansfield away. Afterwards, had the shower, getting changed, and put my pants on, my boxers on. Started feeling a little bit of burning. I was thinking, what's this? Take them off, someone's put DP in the boxers. And I kind of say, Lou McGee, by the way, I found out later on. And I put my shorts back on, so I'm commando now, and then I got to put my shoes on. Wet. DP in the shoe as well. God, twice in one go. He ended up admitting it, so he needs to watch his back. There'll be something in his way.
Let's go. You hear that, Luke McGee? Also, you can get him back in training because he's got to try to stop Jake Young's shot. So
exactly.
Now you have some extra fuel. That's funny, though, because Sweeney also mentioned that Luke McGee likes to give it out, but Luke McGee is not great at taking it.
We'll see what happens when he's on the end of some revenge. I'm sure he won't like it.
Let's go. But yeah, Sweeney told us about the prank when everyone like put, I guess you call it cling wrap. We call it saran wrap. Anyway, cling wrap all over Luke McGee's car, and he was like furious.
That was funny. He did not like that. Yeah, he's not driven that car in since. He's been bringing his wife's car in. He's too scared.
That's how you know it was a classic joke. You've actually changed his behavior.
I love that. So I guess moving on to, well, I don't know, maybe more serious, but I want you to walk us through, like, what is it like to have a manager sacked like in the middle of the season. Like we have no idea like what to even like, we can't wrap our brains around like what's that like in the locker room. So like when did you find out Cooper was sacked? Did he speak with you guys? Did he let you know beforehand? Like, you know, what was the response like? What was the mood when something like that happens?
It was, we obviously have never experienced anything like that. I think it's been good for me this season because I've experienced a lot of different stuff and I've got new things and experiences, but it was a weird feeling. I think we found out not really too much earlier than it was kind of put out. I think it's that same day, maybe the day before. It was a weird, obviously it was the manager that gave me my opportunity to play first team football and I'll always appreciate that. I think training the next day, it was a different feeling and it was weird, but it was also a chance we knew we had. I'm not sure how many games it was left at the time, maybe 10 games I think left, a bit less. I think we all knew what was at stake and that we didn't, whoever was in charge, we needed to kind of turn things around and stop the slide. And yeah, it looks like we've done that. Hopefully one game left, it's in our hands, which is what we want.
Yeah, absolutely. But it seems like we have stopped the slide. How has it been with a new coach? What's the Jimmy Ball vibe and experience been for you?
Yeah, Jimmy's just coming in. He's been really positive. He's kind of got, when you go on that little bit of a streak that we'd had kind of losing or on not winning, especially after having such a good 90% of the season, it was tough. And I think he brought that positivity and that energy and something fresh, which kind of got everyone going, picked everyone up, and you could kind of feel the mood change and the energy change. It's a different coach, so it's different training sessions, and it felt newer, it felt fresher. It's been good under him. He's been really positive, and I think you can kind of see in that the last few games that playing a lot better, well, getting a lot better results, playing well, and the lads are feeling good, feeling positive.
Just want to follow up on that really quick. I don't know, maybe this is just us like comment, like I don't know, crafting our own theories here, but sure. it seems to me like, you know, but I don't know, 10 games ago, it just everyone seemed like, or maybe less, whatever, before Cooper got sacked, it seemed like confidence was low, people weren't having fun, and then now it looks like you guys are having a ton of fun out there, that you've got confidence in yourselves again. That you feel, you know, you're just enjoying playing football. Is any of that true, or is that just like us fans, like, you know,
projecting?
projecting our own narrative.
No, I would agree with that. I think it's tough when we went on that kind of losing run of games and we'd done so well. I think it's like anything in life. If you're not doing as well or you're struggling with something, it's, you know, you want to turn it around. And the boys like that more than anything, but sometimes it's in the back of your head and you're not feeling as good as when we're winning. It's natural. So it does. Yeah, we did kind of struggle for a little bit and it was tough. I think, yeah, it's just something fresh. And it's a new face and new stuff. And yeah, it's turned things around. It's just, lads, I think you get a sense of the energy and it feels a lot better, a lot more positive. Now we've turned things around and started picking points up again.
All clubs in the EFL and the Premier League doing the blackout on social media to try to make a statement. Have you ever faced abuse on social media yourself, Jake? And if you have, how do you deal with it?
A couple little bits. I mean, nothing that some players receive. Just I've got the odd message maybe when I've scored against a team. I think it's easy when you don't have as many messages, and I know that I can delete that and just ignore it and not think twice. But I think it's tough if you're a player that's getting abuse on abuse, and it's all you're seeing sometimes. So I think it's what's happening this week, and it's good in a way that it will hopefully raise awareness to the social media platforms, and they can start to do a bit more about it. But I think all you can do as players is try as best you can not to get to you, report it, and hopefully that account will be banned and I'll learn the lesson. But it's Yeah, it's tough. It's people say it's part of being a professional footballer, but I don't think that no one goes out there to miss or to lose, and it hurts the players just as much as it hurts the fans. And then if you come back and you're getting messages or comments and stuff, it's going to pile on top and not make you feel better. So I think, yeah, hopefully this weekend boycott blackout is positive thing and something comes of it.
We joined in on the boycott, and I think it was a good thing. I mean, you know, we want to raise awareness to this, first and foremost, you know, racial abuse and discrimination, but also, you know, like we've just talked about, like just being hyper, I don't know, just being cruel to, you know, the players. It's not cool. It's not okay. And we all need to recognize that and hold each other accountable, hold ourselves accountable, hold social media accountable, hold big bodies too, like UEFA accountable. Like I remember when UEFA banned, Kamara for 3 games because, he's the one who was the victim of the racial abuse. Like it makes no sense. So anyway, I hope things are going to change. I feel like younger generations understand that they're more compassionate, and I hope it'll change. But I will say it was very tough not to tweet so excitedly this weekend.
the
win, the goals, and Aaron Collins and Davison too. I think both of them have kind of gotten a lot of negative comments on social media, and it just felt so good for me to see them bury the goals. Like the Davison goal was insane. Davison goal was insane. Aaron Collins played great. He had so many chances. I think I got to rewatch the highlights, but I think he's the one who even set up his own penalty, if I'm not mistaken. So great to see that. So last question here. Jake Young, are we getting promoted this year?
We'll see. Hopefully, yes.
We got all right. Let's go. We need that. Yes, we need that assurance. All right, we're getting promoted. You heard it here first, folks. Man, we have a lot to do before we got to win the next game, first of all. And then, obviously, playoffs are extremely difficult. And especially when we're missing so many players. Like, we got 4 starters, or 4 really important players injured. We got Ibu, who's going to be out for the next game. So it's going to be tough for sure. But if we actually do pull that off and get promoted, that would be what a story, and what a way to battling all this adversity, all these injuries, to come back and do it would be insane. Anyway, no pressure, young Jake Young. We're all rooting for you. We support you. Whatever happens, we're with you. All right. So let's move to teammate talk now. And then we'll wrap it up. We're just going to ask you give you a few descriptions, and you tell us which teammate most matches that description. All right, Sean.
All right. So this will be pretty quick. So, Jake, who is always missing a sock and rushing to the kit man?
Holden Bailey, without a doubt.
Nice. Nice.
I love how Jake Young has an answer immediately. This is great.
Yeah. All right. He knows, man. He's been observing. He's learning so much. Okay. And who is most likely to take a shift at the wheel of the team bus on that long slog to Carlisle?
Stokes is an interesting driver. I've been a passenger once, and I don't think I want to be a passenger again. As a driver, so I'll go Stokes.
Okay, yeah. Who needs skydiving when you can just hop a ride with Stokes?
That's right. That's a thrill enough itself. All right. That's great. All right. So who's Mr. Vane? Who's like always checking themselves out in the mirror?
There is a few. Me included. TikTok hair.
Yeah, the hair.
TikTok hair.
You're a TikTok star. You gotta care about that.
If I'm honest, I'm going to go for myself with that one.
Jake, you narcissist. Always thinking about yourself.
I love it. We said you were the TikTok. You're the future.
Under the bus. They're lucky, very lucky.
Well, here's another chance to throw someone under the bus. Who's got the worst fashion sense?
Dom's is different, but I like it. It's really different, but I like it. I'd go Aaron Azza. He wears some interesting
gear. I love it. I can't even picture that. I gotta check it out. And I love that you didn't say Lewis Thomas, because I love
forgot about some of that signing picture.
Yes, yeah, the signing picture is incredible. I don't know if you listen to the pod at all, but we talked about that, I think, a couple weeks ago. My wife said it looks like he was just a fan that someone just pulled out of the stands and gave like a scarf to. And I love that about Tomo. I love that. So shout out to that. I'm glad you didn't say that because I respect that style. I love it. last one here, Jake. Last one. Who's the best figure skater on the team?
Ooh, figure skater. Josh Davison. He's...
What?
Don't even know what makes me sad. I think it's the... I can imagine the hair is long, just flicking back.
I can totally see that now that you say it. I can totally see that. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, although... figure skating, Davison, ice dancing, gotta be Azza.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or Dark Horse. Here we go. Scott Wagstaff.
Okay, yeah.
I can imagine him with the giant beard figure skating. That would be incredible. Anyway, yeah. we will wrap it up there. Young Jake Young, not the Korean international star, but the star striker from Huddersfield. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, man. This was awesome. It was so great getting to know you. I think the fans are going to really like getting to know you. I hope you're with us for a long time because I think you got so much potential. I hope we can hang on to you, actually. Yeah. But you can follow this man on Twitter at Jake18Young or on Instagram at JakeYoung, Jake with three E's, Young. Oh, with two G's too, right?
He's two G's, easy as that.
I love it. All right, a lot of letters in there. Just type in Jake Young with a bunch of different, you'll figure it out. All right. Anyway, Jake Young, man, so appreciate you coming on. Continued success. Man, keep bringing that magic, and man, we can't wait to watch what happens Saturday. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Jake.
Boom, Young Jake Young. What a guy, man. Young Jake Young. Magic on the pitch, magic off the pitch. What a kid, man. What a kid.
Absolutely. Oh, man, just such a good head on his shoulders, just a great view, taking the long view of things. Hearing about his unorthodox way into League Two in English football, league football, that was so cool. Because over here, we think about the academy systems. We think about the bigger teams, you know. But to hear how he, just through his, you know, showing out and through his work rate, kind of has given himself these opportunities, it's pretty special to hear about.
Totally agree. Awesome dude, man. Awesome dude. I hope he's with us for a long time. I hope we can hang on to him. I feel like he's got so much potential. And like you said, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's exactly like the kind of young player that you want to build a team around. So let's go.
Seems like he's
awesome.
Learning the right lessons from our veterans, too.
Yes,
he's got these
Jamma.
Close relationships with Jamma, with, you know, other folks that have been around. So I just feel like he's that sponge.
Yes.
Absorbing how to be a great professional.
Oh, man. Is there a better mentor to have than Jamma? Like, that's... He's in a great...
Possibly Yoda. Possibly.
Well, yeah, he's in a great situation because he's got Jamma to learn from. And Jamma is such a great mentor, such a great role model for these young strikers. So anyway, Shimmy, let's close out. Before we do, just something on a serious note really quick.
Yeah, I just want to give a special shout out and acknowledge the passing of a former Forest Green Rover player, Alan McLaughlin. Former midfielder for the Republic of Ireland and Portsmouth. He finished his career with us in 2002-2003. We never had a chance to know him or really watch him play, but anytime somebody that was a member of Forest Green Rovers you know, hits that sad milestone, we do want to acknowledge them. So we here at Heaven's Devils just want to wish his loved ones well during this difficult time.
So Shimmy, let's close out there, my friend. Let's close out there, brother. Our last pod before the last game of the season. I can't believe that, actually. It snuck up on me, man. Yeah. Well, whatever happens on Saturday, we will absolutely have another pod next week. And actually, for the next couple weeks, we're going to have a few more pods. If we go to the playoffs, we'll have several more. If we don't, we'll definitely have a few more. We'll see what happens. But in any case, man, thank you guys for rocking with us. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. These two dumb Americans as we explore our fandom of Forest Green Rovers. Man, I cannot wait for Saturday, brother. I cannot wait. Let's go.
Same here, bro. And just to say, you know, regardless of the outcome of the season, it's going to be one to remember for us. Just because we got to meet so many great people, both within and outside of the club, supporters, Statman, Ash. And so many people we can name, right, Jade?
Yeah.
So just the fact that we got to do this and people, like you said, rocked with it and gave it a listen kind of makes my heart swell a little bit.
But, man, Same.
Let's take that energy and take it into Saturday.
Yes. So, boys, if you're listening, hopefully you're not, because like we always say, it's going to make you dumber about football if you listen, so don't listen to us. But
well, maybe if you're overthinking things. If you're overthinking things, boys, listen to us.
There you are. There we go. Yeah, don't overthink it. Listen to us. So, man, if you're listening, we back you. Whatever happens Saturday, man, we are proud of everything you guys have, all the work you guys have put in. And, man, we just cannot wait. We cannot wait for Saturday. So, up the Vegan Rovers, baby.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR. Let's go do the damn thing on Saturday.
And you know we got a Ray.
Oh, yeah, praise.
We got a Ray's Dale.
No, Ray's first. Which one is it first?
Ray's Hill, praise Dale, brother.
Ray's Hill. Oh, okay, all right. You know we got a
Ray's Hill.
Praise Dale.
Yeah, baby. Like I said, I got rid of Big Time Tommy. It was too much work. I don't know what's going to follow this, but something might follow it. Something might not. Find out. Thank you guys for listening. Bye, everybody.